Hey man, it's your boy Front Street, man. You know who I'm vibing with.
Hey, what up? It's your boy, you already know, the one and only Joel Santana.
What's up, y'all? This Lillian.
You ready?
It's your boy Corey with a K. His squad represent an Oakland landline owner.
Yeah!
It's your boy Freshie.
You already know what it is. It's your boy Worldwide Poppy.
Hold on, wait a minute. What's up,
ATL?
Your
favorite Ethiopian Sue Solo, and you guys are keeping it locked.
Shout out to Miss Tiana E.
Miss Tiana E.
Miss Tiana E.
Miss Tiana E.
Don't change it, okay? Where else you gonna go?
What's up, y'all? Y'all back vibing with Miss Tiana E, and I am here with Leon Valentine. How you doing?
I'm fine. I'm glad to be here.
Yes. Okay, so recently, Leon has wrote an article that has been going up. He wrote an article about UPN shows, and just so happened, the UPN shows are going to be on Netflix August and September. Now, I think the article made an impact.
You know what's crazy? Everybody keep DMing me and saying that, and it's crazy because I originally was going to write about BET, and my friend was like, no, you need to write about a network that we all watch. I'm like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
So in my article, I wrote that we need to have it on Netflix. Now, originally, I said other black streaming service. I didn't even say Netflix.
Right.
But it wasn't. Looking at it now, it's like everybody keep giving me like, you definitely sparked that because it went viral when I wrote it in March.
Mm.
And now to see it sparked again, like Blavity actually DM'd me yesterday and was like, it's interesting that you just did this and now, you know, they talking about it again. I'm like, see? Right.
But it's crazy because the power of the AUC is really crazy. Because the girl who actually put the motion for the UPN shows to go on Netflix is actually a Spelman alum.
I heard about that, yeah. I saw
yeah,
somebody
and I
doing
didn't it. Know that either. I just read that yesterday and I was like, look at.
AUC is taking, let me tell you something. CAU within itself, like, I did not realize so many people are in so many places, especially within recent years. This will be my fifth year since graduating. I didn't realize that there's so many people within the last 5 to 10 years. It's like, making moves out of CAU and out of AUC, like,
yes,
in entertainment alone.
Yes. Like, I know when I recently just graduated in 2019.
Okay.
But even then, just seeing how the lumps coming back, like, seeing people, like, come back and showing stuff. Like, when I first met Pinky, like, you know, the owner of Slay Vegan, like, I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, you went here? Like, I mean, people that actually, like, went to the school and seeing the impact they're making in the communities, and not just Atlanta, but the other cities, and I'm like,
yeah.
I'm impressed. And just, like, how we are doing it in the media, too, as well. Like,
yeah,
the impact in the media is crazy. So what was your major when you was at Clark?
So I was a PR major, and I don't know if they probably told you all, but I was the only A that got for my PR defense out of the last 10 years.
Really?
Yes. So I had Ms. Foster, and they had Ms. Wright before that, who was over the PR department. I was the only one that had the A within the last decade for our senior defense.
Wow.
And so I majored in PR. That was my only major. I only ever wanted to do at Clark Atlanta because I was the one who everybody wanted to be in TV and radio, but I was always the one behind the scenes writing speeches and doing the campaigns, and that's naturally is what I do. So, like, people would come to me and say, oh, I think I want to be Miss Freshman, I want to be Miss Senior, and one of my close friends was Miss CAU, and she wanted to run. I'm like, just do this, and this, or say this, or do this hashtag, and literally my director, I was in the honors program, was like, you don't need to be TV and radio, because that's what I wanted to do originally. She's like, you're not TV and radio. Like, you need to be behind the scenes. You're more of a PR. And PR is so broad. So when you're at Clark, it's like, what is that? Like,
mm-hmm.
You know, I went into a class, and I think LaToria was still there. Either, like, she just graduated. Yes.
Yes.
I think she came back, or she just graduated. So I think I sat in the class, and I loved it. And ever since then, I've been doing PR literally since the age of, honestly, 18. I had my first internship at 18.
Yes.
So.
Okay, so I'm not going to lie. I was the radio TV girl. Like, I was mainly radio, though. I knew, like, when I first got to Clark, I was a vocal music major. Switched my major because I knew I didn't want to sing no more, but I knew I wanted to be on the soundboard. And radio was the closest thing for me to work audio production. So doing radio, and I didn't get into PR until, like, my junior year.
Yeah.
Because I was like, okay, I want to do some more stuff behind the scenes. I don't want to be in front of the scenes. I want to do some more stuff behind the scenes. So PR, booking, and stuff like that changed my life. Like, that's when I tapped into something. I said, oh, I might be on something. I'm on something.
And not only that, like PR, I tell people all the time, even if you're not a PR major, if you're an MMA, get you a PR friend or learn to PR, because it really, you don't realize how much people in PR really put the work in. Like, we are the change agents really in the entertainment, especially Black publicists.
Okay.
We really are the change agents. And a lot of people don't realize, like, it will really help you if you're like, say, for example, you're on TV radio, but if you're a PR person, you understand, like, how professional it is to reach out to certain people. If you have to book people on your own, it's like, well, let me do it the right professional way, or let me learn how to market myself. Like, it's so many things. It's so much more than just being on radio or being on TV. It's like, you gotta learn the strategy behind stuff.
Right. So I just know, like, PR is a game changer. Like, that's something that changed my life. It definitely helped, because I had my own radio show, so it definitely helped. Like you even said, like, learning to reach out to people, saying, like, hey, like, to come to the radio station, like, just knowing how to actually professionally reach out to folks and actually build those connections. So that was a good one. Now, so what I want to talk about today was, I know, seeing that how that article has resurfaced, it's going crazy again. And like, I saw it from Emmanuel, you know, Emmanuel Pierre, like, I saw it from him. And I'm always like, because he always knows the hidden gems of the
age. Yes.
Shout out to Emmanuel. He always knows the hidden gems.
Emmanuel has been, I would consider myself a mentor, but Emmanuel was a freshman when I was a sophomore. And one thing I remember about him, he has always been about, I'm going to put everybody on, especially the underdog.
Yeah.
Like, because you always see the same 5 or 10 people, but it's like, it's so much more people that's really doing major things. So shout out to him. Like, and the crazy part is, a lot of people didn't even know I went to CAU. People didn't even know I wrote the article.
When I tell you, I didn't see, I'm like, what? Because when I got to Clark, I got there probably like that last semester when he was leaving. Like, I got there January 15. I got there spring 15.
Okay.
So I was like, I'm not even, know, I'm still meeting people that was leaving, like, was leaving when I came in. So it's just like, wow, that is such a, that's a big inspiration. Like, just see like that. Just go crazy like that. So knowing that article had just went crazy, I know that we want to talk about, you know, just like the feeling of being burnt out, mm-hmm. and living in your head and like self-doubt, or like, you know, just underestimating yourself. So how was that for you? Like, when you first started writing, so this is your first article. I know you told me this was your first article.
So, and it's funny that we talked about that. Okay, so let me start from the beginning. So, a lot of people don't know I've been doing PR for a long time. I've been doing freelance for 3 years. I work for the Boston Celtics. I'm currently the publicist for Miss Black USA. And mind you, one person would think, you know, I've got placements with Good Morning America, Elle Magazine, all of that stuff, right? BET, all of that. And when I was at Clark Atlanta, and even now, you know, we all have our doubts, we all have our fears. And the reason why it's so important for me to speak about living in fear or living in your own head is because a lot of times we hold ourselves back more than we even realize. I had the opportunity to write. It was something that a year or two ago, somebody would have asked me to write an article. I would have looked at them like they were crazy, because I'm like, I know I ain't writing nobody an article, because I'm so used to just saying I want to do the work, but I'm scared, and even battling with like trying to be out there more. And that's just a fear of mine, because I'm so used to being behind the scenes that PR allows that. In a way, it gives you a safe space to say, I work behind the scenes, but now you're starting to see the emergence of, like, I'll call them pub celebrities, like being on social media, kind of being out there more. So that was the first actual article I wrote. I actually wrote another article where I featured Cardi B's publicist and Beyonce's publicist that went viral too. But the UPN one was actually the very first one that I wrote. And that was something that I was scared to do, because I felt like it wasn't my lane. I didn't consider myself a writer. And I honestly, believe it or not, I felt like nobody would read it. I'm gonna be honest with you. I felt like, oh, ain't nobody about to read this.
What?
I felt like it was, I'm gonna be completely transparent with you. I actually thought the article was horrible. I felt like, you know, because I'm not a technical writer. I just write.
You're not a writer, right. I understand it.
I mean, I'll pitch all day long, you know, I'll write a press release day in and day out, but it was something like, if you're asking me to write, it's like, I'm only going to write what's on my heart the way I want to write it, and not the way that a journalist has to write it, or like, if I'm an editor-in-chief, I'm not going to do it that way. And I felt like, oh, nobody's going to read this. Nobody's going to like it. So when the response was big and people were DMing me and texting me, and I actually had Cheryl Lee Ralph actually DM me and was like, oh, my God, thank you. Yeah, because no one has spoke about this in the media at all. This is the 24th anniversary. Like, she DM'd me personally and thanked me. And then Ray J actually responded to me and was like, oh, wow, Black people wrote this. Shout out to you. Like, and stuff like that. And I'm like, me? Like, you know. But I lived in my own head and I lived in fear because I'm like, well, no one's going to like this. We often always think of the negative before we think of the positive.
Definitely.
Or you feel like you're not the person that's like always in the forefront. It's like, oh, I'm going to write it, but it's only going to get 10, 15 likes.
Right.
So it's so easy sometimes to live in our head because if that's what we're used to, if that's the environment that we came from, you don't realize that it's not healthy.
Yes. Do you have any like advice for any of the young creatives or even creatives in general who have like, you know, the moments where they're living in your head? Like, what were some things that helped you like exit out of, you know, those thoughts and actually like go ahead and push through with this article?
So to me, to be completely honest, something that I did, I have amazing friends that kind of pushed me to do it. Even when I told them I was scared to do it because I wrote the article like 5 or 10 times before I sent it to Blogity. Something that I had to do, and I constantly do now, I'm really, really big on meditating. A lot of people don't know that I am a Buddhist by practice.
Okay.
So, I meditate all the time. I write down everything that I want to do, and I really just hold on to that. And I don't look at social media anymore as a comparison. I look at it as something that should be like motivational. I think sometimes for me, when I see certain people doing certain things, as back then it was like, you know, well, they're writing, so of course they're going to get this placement or something like that. And I'm not. I don't compare anymore myself. I'm just like, I'm just going to do it at this point. It's either a yes or a no. And the sad part about it is that we had that way of thinking, it would ultimately work out. I literally sent the article, and like an hour later, they approved it. So it's, you know, one of them things was like, I think for young entrepreneurs and young creatives, something that I would tell them is to just do it. You know, I mean, it sounds crazy, but I'm telling you, just do it, because at the end of the day, you're going to get a yes or you're going to get a no.
Right.
And I would tell them to write everything down. And even if you feel like you're nervous or scared to do it just then and there, something that I do is I work in intervals. So if I know something that I want to do and I'm just scared to do it, I may take my time and say, well, let me research what it is I want to do. Probably next week, I'll just research how I can do it, then just do it.
Right.
Just do it all the way, because I think, and just, I know for me, I'm a big energy person. So I literally have to sometimes wake up and do things. When I want to do something, I'm nervous to do it. I know it sounds crazy, but I do it early in the morning. The first thing I do when I wake up
is, that's actually, I've read, and just me personally, like being able to like practice those things, I've noticed like when you wake up earlier and you do things early in the day and stuff,
you do.
You have a lot of more like motivation, like, okay, you're motivated throughout the day. When you have a late start, it's kind of like you're sitting in your thoughts and stuff, and you kind of.
Yeah. Oh, yes. And the thing is, the sad part is, once you realize, if you kind of wait later in the day, it's like, oh, well, I'll just write at 3 o'clock. I'll do it at 6.
You push your back, procrastinate.
I'm going to wake up at 5 a.m. and I'm going to do it. And when you wake up, it's 10 p.m. It's 10, especially right now during Corona, because I wrote that during Corona.
Really?
Wake up. Yes. You wake up and you're like, oh, it's already 11, 12 p.m., so let me get my day started. By then, it's a week has gone past a month, and it's like, well, damn, I'd have missed the opportunity. You know, I literally had to write that article then and there. I thought about it. I think I was watching an episode of Parkers on BET, literally at like 2 in the morning. I'm not going to lie to you. And I was looking around. I'm like, I wonder when you – and I don't know why. It was just me and random. I'm like, but where is UPN at? Me thinking, I realized that UPN's been out for 25 years.
First off, you asking the questions that we all been wondering.
Literally, though.
What the hell happened to UPN?
And, you know, I just was just thinking, I'm like, well, and of course, the first thing, me being a publicist, I started looking up, like, okay, it's 25th anniversary. I'm thinking maybe, okay, BET, Blogity, HuffPost, Black Voices, someone's going to write about it. And I seen nothing. So I'm like, let me write about, I was going to say, where is UPN or why aren't we supporting these networks like UPN?
Right.
But I'm like, well, let me write this article. Honestly, it took me a couple days. I'm like, well, I'm going to write it, but I didn't. And so finally, a friend of mine was like, Leon, if you don't write this article, like, I'm gonna kick your butt. Like, you need to write this. No one's doing it. And I literally woke up at 5 a.m. and I literally just went on the notes section of my iPhone. I just wrote. The first thing I said is, I'm gonna give myself an hour. I put my phone on airplane mode. I literally just wrote about how I felt about BET, about the shows, what shows were iconic. Honestly, like, how they change generations. Like, yeah. Well, we used to change a generation. Like, the Parkers, was the catalyst for a lot of these TV shows, and we don't realize it. Like, you know, a lot of people don't understand, like, those programming, you can remember the a place of time where you were.
The impact of Girlfriend.
Literally, like.
Like, wanting to get older and literally having a couple girlfriends. Like, you just, like, the impact of these shows, like.
Yeah, and you don't realize, like, how much. When I look at Parkers now, when I look at Moesha, like, you remember where you were in time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, very nostalgic. You don't have, I mean, not to say programming isn't the same way now, but I remember when I was 5, 6 years old, when I was in elementary school, and I would come home and the Parkers was on TV. Like, I can remember those UPN commercials. It's like, nobody ain't writing about this. And just because I'm a publicist, goes back to living in my head, that doesn't mean that I can't write.
Yeah,
I
you can't limit yourself.
You know, so it's just living, just being scared, you know, just literally just being scared and just saying, like, I need to kind of jump if I want to get to the next level. So it helped, you know, and it taught me a life lesson. That article really, it did change my life in a way because it opened me up to do other stuff too, so.
Yes, and that's really, really good. So are we expecting any more articles? Like, are you going to dip and dab into some more writing?
So I am. So I actually wrote an article for Black Love, pretty much like 10, I think it was 7 or 10 shows you should be watching now on Netflix. I did that, and I just partnered with Build Your Own Brand, which is like for like young Black millennials. So they want me to write some stuff like PR, and like marketing, and like pretty much helping them with like professional development.
Yeah.
So I'm doing that now because a lot of people keep hitting me up like, you need to write more, you need to do this. I'm like, I guess I can now. You know what?
Right. And I see your agency. Out of that fear. I do see your agency, the pitch guy. Like, I see everything that you are doing, like the impact and like the stuff that you're incorporating your PR skills. But with your general mass media skills, like, I like the way how you definitely do discuss, like, even just now, how you were just talking about, you know, just living in your head and you really knowing that, like, that's not all that you offer. Like, you definitely, you do more. So you're building up on everything. And I like that. And it shows, like, people, you don't have to be boxed in. You can definitely
try that. But you want to do it in a way to where it's like you don't feel like you're overwhelming yourself or burning yourself out. Because for a while, I felt like that. When I was coming into this upcoming year, I took like a 4 to 5 month hiatus because I did feel burned out. And I was doing so much in PR at the time. And I was getting depressed and everything. But I felt like I was at a space where I'm like, I'm running a race against myself. And I feel like I'm doing so much to the point where I just felt like it was a lot, and I had to take a 4 to 5 month break off, and I'm glad I did it because it made me appreciate life more, and it made me understand that, you know, don't get me wrong, a career is important, life is important, but you only have one life to live, so.
Right.
If you burn yourself out, it's like, and honestly, a lot of times we burn ourselves out for no reason, honestly, because we're in a race with no one but ourselves.
Right.
You know, we compare ourselves to everyone we see on LinkedIn or Instagram or whatever, and I give this analogy all the time, I'm like, you know, it's like every time, you know, you're on Instagram, it's like if someone gets a new like or someone gets a new post, it's like they're running 5 miles ahead of you. But in all actuality, they're not. They're just in their own lane, you know? And it's just, you know, it's just we shouldn't have to compare ourselves. It's just your lane is your lane. My lane is my lane. If I get this press or I get this client, I get them. You know, if you're on radio, if you get this person that you want to be on your radio show, you get them. If you don't, you don't. It's about more so the quality. So you can have one radio interview that goes viral and helps you out in the last 2 to 6 months and just having to constantly have the pressure of I gotta get this in the moment. So.
Now, when was it that you actually like noticed or felt like, hey, okay, I need to take this break. Like when you say you was burnt out and you had to take that break, was it when Corona had started or was it previous before Corona?
No, believe it or not, it actually was before Corona. It was probably around, so I can tell the story. It was probably around like August, September, another friend of mine, she was a really good friend of mine. She passed away. She committed suicide due to burnout. She was a fellow publicist as well. I actually had 2 friends that passed away, but she was someone that I was very, very close to. We kind of knew each other through PR. We were around the same age and everything, and she was really, really good. She worked at one of the top PR firms here in D.C. And I remember the conversations where we were having, and she was just feeling like that she was just literally competing with everyone around her because she felt like she wasn't good enough. Now, mind you, she worked at the top, not Black, just top PR firms in the world right now.
Right.
And she just felt like that she just wasn't doing enough. And it's just sad to say that sometimes we don't understand the value of what we're doing. We don't understand that it's not necessarily a competition. The value of what you're doing is and should not be valued towards anyone else but yourself. Right. And ultimately, you know, she took her own life because of the effects of burnout and just feeling not worthy enough or not good enough. So that to me made me change and appreciate life and made me understand that, wait a minute, like, I'm doing good regardless, you know, if no one sees it or not, or regardless if no one recognizes it, or regardless if they're not the biggest celebrity, I'm doing good, you know, right. I'm doing good, and you have to understand that. So that time before Corona made me sit back and evaluate 3 to 4 months to understand what it is I was doing, what I need to do coming into 2020, and how I can understand the value being in my own pace and in my own lane. And I feel like I have that now. And this is pre-Corona, so.
Yes. I feel like this is definitely, like, a testimony on, like, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. Like, that's what it is. That's what it is. Like, a lot of times, though, we do get in our heads. Like, we get in our heads. I know even for myself, like, I love to create. I love doing interviews, but especially when the pandemic happened, I was like, I'm supposed to be out of town. I'm supposed to be doing interviews. I'm supposed to be doing this live. And what the hell? Like, I was just was like, took it back. But it took me a minute to actually, like, realize, like, okay, just take a second. Okay. This is a good time. Like, sometimes I put on standstill and number one, people in order. Like, around that time when I was like, well, I'm supposed to be out of town, I'm supposed to create content, and, you know, the pandemic had started. At that time, I still wanted to start my blog. And I was like, oh my gosh, luckily, it did help me. It helped me start my blog because, you know, we're here, we ain't got nothing but time. So it's like, okay. So I started my blog and it was able to help me. And like, and honestly, like you, I'm not a writer.
Yeah.
I'm a vocalist. I talk. But I'm not a writer. So I had to tap into that and actually.
Yeah.
But you would definitely have time. I know a lot of creators, and definitely a lot of creators that's young have times where we're stuck in our own mind, our own space. We kind of like doubt ourselves in some types of ways. Like, we know that we got it, but we doubt ourselves in a way that's like, I mean, yeah, but what if I put this out and people ain't looking? You look, like you said, how you look at the Instagram and stuff, like you're looking at those likes, you look at those views and stuff, and it's not where technically you want it to be. But
I think the weird thing is we forget that Instagram was only supposed to be used for photos. I think sometime in that mix, it's allowed us, especially with the culture that we're in, it's very much a microwave society. You know, it's like, what can I do quick to get this? You know, we forget that Instagram only had videos for 15 seconds. What can I get to get the biggest reaction in a limited time, right?
Right.
And what we all know is that real eyes realize.
Right.
So just person posts that they does something, that may not always be the case. You know, you can literally post that you're vacationing and you're not. You can literally go home to your lights cut off, or you can post this article or post this press release or post this event and you weren't even the person that's head of in charge of it. You're just helping to assist. You don't really know the full spectrum of things. So when in the front of your mind, you're thinking, I'm not doing enough because this working. So this person's over BET Awards, but in reality, they're just helping to assist. You never know. Out of your mind, you're beating yourself up for the rest of the day not realizing that. Well, for one, you don't know what it takes for that person to get to that level, and you really don't know the full spectrum. So,
yeah.
It's interesting. I mean, it's a psychological thing. I think the way the social media is now and the way that it's used, it's almost used like show and tell. It's not really used to, you know, kind of show the full spectrum of your life. It's just like, well, what can I do now to get, you know, to make people feel like I'm doing good or I'm doing enough?
Right, because people only going to show the good. They never going to show, like, the bad. Good.
No, ain't nobody gonna talk about the fact that they got fired or I just got put out my house, I just got my lights off.
No one's ever gonna talk about that. Nobody ever gonna talk about that.
Ain't nobody gonna make no video on Instagram saying I'm sitting in the house with my lights off, I ain't got no food, or I just asked my friends to cash out me some money. Nobody's. So it's one of, and honestly, I will respect it more, but the way the society is built, like, no one's gonna do that. So you're only gonna show the good, but it hurts us all, its people, because it makes us live in this reality of everything has to be good, and if it's not,
superficial reality. Let's put that.
Very artsy. Very.
And it's like we're sitting here, like, you know, and like you said earlier, doing that comparison in the situation, but really you don't know what you're comparing. Like, what are you actually comparing? Like, you don't know. And it's not even like you can't even, it's not even a situation where a lot of the times it's not about all the time monetarily or what everyone, you know, anyone's living situation or whatever the case is. Sometimes people really be having stuff going on mentally that they don't want to talk about.
Yes.
Like, they don't want to talk about. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. I did a video at the beginning of quarantine. Mm-hmm. You know, in quarantine, like, we're in the house. Everything started getting real heavy and stuff. And like I told you, like, I was feeling like, what is going on? So at the beginning of quarantine, I did a video of 8 ways to cope with anxiety and depression.
Mm.
And at the beginning of my video, I did a little snippet letting them know, you know, hey, yeah, guys, you know, I dealt with depression. And that was big for me. I didn't know. And I just felt like I was going to put that video there because I wanted to help somebody who's possibly in my situation or similar to my situation. A lot of people see me as, like, the strong friend. Like, oh, Tiana, you just so strong. Like, yeah, I'm strong, baby. I've got some things going on. Like, so I put that out there because I'm like, someone else has to be feeling like I'm feeling. And not just how I'm feeling. Even if you don't feel always as good as people might see me every day. They always feel like I'm such in a great mood, mm-hmm. and stuff. They can look at that. If they're not feeling like that, they can still look at that video and still say, well, hey, if she literally can portray, like, full happiness, and I'm sitting here like this, like, okay, I might need to take some of her tips, and I just gave some tips, like, some stuff that actually helped me. And I know I got a lot of feedback from that video, too. Like, a lot of people actually was like, this video was actually very helpful. I've been trying to figure out ways to...
It's needed, and we don't talk about it enough, especially as young people. And honestly, believe it or not, we can go into it, but especially as young blacks, we do not talk about it enough. I didn't realize, even through quarantine, how much of an anxiety I had until I really had to sit. Quarantine has allowed us, I feel like, I'm not going to say it's a blessing in disguise, but it's really allowed people to really sit and be with themselves.
Yes.
Unapologetic.
They haven't took a chance to. We don't take a real chance. Yes. We move so much.
We don't know ourselves. And it ain't been so many times you can scroll through Instagram and look at everybody's story. It's only been so many times you can like post. When you have to put that phone down and you're at home really being with yourself, you realize that you have to sit and think and learn who you are.
Right.
And a lot of us, we try, and this is why it's funny that I say this, a lot of us are coping now with, oh, let me go out, or let me do this, or let me go to brunch. And it's like, sometimes you need to sit down and be still.
Hello.
And when you're not doing that, you're obviously trying to escape something. You're trying to escape, maybe you're not doing enough in life, maybe something is wrong, you're trying to run away from something. But all of us need to be still. There's a point in time where you have to be still. And it allowed me, I mean, even right now with me doing Corona, I was able to really sit and realize, like, damn, sometimes I really do be in my head and I really do have anxiety just based off the fact that I want to do so much, but I feel like I have a little bit of time to do it.
Right.
But it really, it's just like, you can just sit and plan and make it all work out in a timely manner. You don't have to rush and do 3 or 4 things at one time.
And going back to everything, it all just goes into one, because just like going back into what you just said, even about, you know, how we live in our, like, superficial reality, we're thinking that we have to rush so much because we're feeling like we're on a timeline because we're looking at our timeline scrolling so fast. And we're like, oh, we got to do this. We got to do this. Like, we are on a timeline. We try to push ourselves so much. But sometimes we have to sit down. Like,
yeah. You need to sit down. I didn't realize the Corona, I needed to sit until, I think it was like probably April. I just was like doing so much, and I was just, for some reason, just so tired all the time. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? Like, I'm not doing anything. Like, and it wasn't until one day, I literally slept for like almost 18 hours, and it scared me. But I realized before Corona, I was working literally so many hours up and down to the up of dawn, doing PR, writing, like, everything, helping people, of course, too. Like, helping everybody and giving to myself.
We don't never count that stuff. We always just think about, like, you know, oh, I did this myself. Yeah, you did this for yourself, but you also help your friends.
Yeah.
Like, you always gonna help, like, business partners, people that you do work with. Like, you're gonna help them all the time, too. So, on top of that, like, all that stuff together, it's just like, when do you have time? And then when you make time to actually get a little sleep, Maybe mm-hmm. like, when you get, I had one of those days when I slept for so long and I was just like, what?
I woke up and was like, I was literally like the Mr. Krabs meme. I woke up like, what is going on?
Mr. Krabs, literally, like, confused.
I was so just stuck. I'm like, okay, what's going on? This is not normal. So allow me to rest. Believe it or not, though, doing this, and even now, after post, well, we're not post-corona, but I've literally been coloring literally since probably March, since the shutdown.
Yeah.
I color in a color book. I probably got like 30 of them in my house now, but I've been coloring. Like, that helps with anxiety. A lot of people don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it helps calm and mellow. So I usually color in a color book at least like probably twice a day. On top of meditating, but that has helped me. And I mean, before Corona had COVID not happened, I wouldn't have did that. Like, I wouldn't have done that. But it's helped, you know, so we all have to have that. So,
yes. Well, I just want to say thank you for this conversation because this is needed. This is going to be a neat conversation for, like, this was something like millennials, we kind of need to hear this. Like, people who are like, in the industry and whatever perspective industry that they're in that push themselves so hard, we need to hear something like this because a lot of times we push ourselves so hard that we're burnt out, or we push ourselves so much that we're looking at other stuff and we sometimes underestimate ourselves.
Yeah. And so, we're scared too. Yeah. I mean, it's just scared, I guess, with the whole burnout thing is you feel like you have to work to prove something instead of working to do it just to do it. So.
Right. So do you have any advice for any of the young creatives that will be tuning in?
I do. So a couple of advice I would give people. I would say work in your own path. For me, one of the biggest tools I can give people is not to live in fear or to live in the result of, I can't do this because I did this, and this is like, you can do whatever you want to do. And at 27, I'm now realizing that, like, the stuff that I'm doing now, even when I was at Clark Atlanta, it's like, I would have never thought I would have wrote an article. I would have never thought I did PR and worked with this many people or got this many outlets. I just would never thought that because I thought that.
Right.
Not because anyone else didn't think, but because I lived in my own head. So don't live in fear. Have a support group, and it'll be times where you have to change your circle of people to gain that. And I didn't realize that either. You want to stay with the same friends, but if they're not doing much, it's like, I have friends now within the last 2 years that have helped push me within friends that I've had the last 10 to 15.
Mm.
So it's one of the things, sometimes you have to change that circle. And I'm not going to say change it, but switch and adjust if need be.
You know? Somebody got to move around. Right.
And I would say just do things on your own time. I mean, right now it's COVID. It's a negative. People would say it's a negative, but I would genuinely say this is the best time to really sit and reevaluate what it is you want to do and take that time. If it has to be 3 months, to come back and just reevaluate what it is you want to do and to make it work. So.
Yes. Okay. Well, Leon, can you let the people know your social media handles? Where can they find you, your work, got a website? Let them know where they can find your stuff.
Yeah. So you can find me on Instagram. My regular Instagram page is Leon R. Valentine. My PR page is The Pitch Guy, but my regular Instagram is Leon R. Valentine. My website, I believe, is thepitchguy.net. Yeah. And that's where all my articles are. If you want to read my articles, I do videos as well, but I do mainly PR, of course. So that's where you want to see all that stuff. Just visit my IG. And if anybody has any questions about, you know, anxiety or just burnout or anything, or they need media advice or PR advice, they can DM me. I don't mind helping at all.
Yes. Well, we love a fellow Panther. We love... First off, we stay in the AUC. So we just love the fact that, one, you HBCU grown, because we love you, and that you actually are feeding your talents and stuff back into the Black community. That article was much needed because, I don't think anyone ever would ever forget about UPN. Ever.
No.
Ever. So thank you so much for taking the time to get this chit-chat on. And I appreciate it. And like he said, y'all, if I have any media questions, PR questions, DM him. He is open for any conversation. Y'all link in with y'all fellow alum, because like he said, the alum has been going up, okay?
Yes.
So link in with your alum. Yes, so thank you so much, Leon.
Thank you.
No problem.